Don't have time to read that research paper you saved? Chelsea and Olivia want to help you out. We know how it is. That's why we read it for you. Welcome to the Exercise Science Too Long Didn't Read podcast.
Hello,
and welcome
to our show.
So, what are we talking about today?
We're talking about exercise training as an intervention with cachexia in cancer.
Sweet. So, we're going to discuss a paper called what she just said with that big word. Say it again.
Cachexia.
Cachexia. I'm going to let you guys in on a little hint. That is not how it's spelled.
Nope.
This would be one of those where I would need it spelled phonetically because you would not, well, you might. I did not look at that word and go, sure, that says cachexia. Mm-hmm, definitely.
It looks like cachexia.
C-A-C-H-E-X-I-A. Or even like just cachexia. I guess that's close. Anywho. So we talk about a paper on that. The effects on muscle wasting. That sounds terrible and mildly horrifying. But first, we have a lot of big words coming up. So we're going to define some things and dive into the research paper itself. We'll discuss it from the research question to the discussion. So stay tuned and learn about exercise training effects on chemotherapy-related cachexia. Hey, I said it.
You did it. Good job.
Thanks. So define me, little sis.
Okay. So our first definition is chemotherapy. It's a very common thing that people know about whenever someone has cancer, they receive radiation and or chemotherapy.
Yep. I was alive when our mom went through that.
Yes. So chemotherapy is a drug that uses powerful chemicals to kill fast-growing cells in your body like cancer. So many different chemotherapy drugs are available. Chemotherapy drugs can be used alone or in a combination of treatments. And so they are known as a chemotherapy cocktail, if you will.
I was just about to ask if it was called a chemo cocktail.
Yep, yep. So all the information I just got from the mayoclinic.org, they had a definition for chemotherapy and they have more information on what that is. So my next definition is cachexia. It's also known as muscle wasting syndrome.
Oh, the cachexia is the muscle wasting.
Yeah, it's just a fancy word for it. Yeah, so the phonetic pronunciation is cachexia. So cachexia.
Cachexia.
It comes from the Greek word kakos.
You know what I just realized? Trying to say the word cachexia can prevent cachexia of your face muscles.
That's kind of what the research is going to talk about today.
Oh, see, I'm learning already. This is fantastic.
So the Greek word kakos, which means chocolate. Bad. No, not cacao. It means bad. Kakos means bad. And hexis means condition. So cachexia means a bad condition.
Seems like a gross oversimplification.
It is.
But I kind of like it.
You're welcome.
There's a comedian whose name I can't remember right now, but he learned a phrase in a foreign language that roughly translated to, you right here is awesome. In English, we would just say, oh, you're really beautiful. But literally translated, you right here motioning to the face is awesome. And that's what that feels like.
I like it.
Cachexia. You, bad situation.
Bad condition.
Condition, yes.
So anorexia is another word that comes from the Greek word hexis and kakos. So anorexia is also associated with cachexia. So cachexia is also known as anorexia cachexia syndrome.
I guess that kind of makes sense because if you're not providing the necessary nutrients to your muscles, you're going to mm-hmm. they're going to waste away.
Yeah, makes perfect sense. So it's not just the loss of appetite and the muscle wasting. It's a complex problem. So it changes the way your body uses the macros or macro nutrients like protein, carbohydrates, and fat. You may also burn up calories faster, so your metabolism can actually increase.
Oh,
so,
don't tell me that.
Oh, but
it's dangerous.
But so if your metabolism increases and you're not eating, your body starts eating away at its own muscle. It's using the muscle as fuel, which is causing the muscle wasting.
Hmm.
It's very sad and it's scary. So doctors can't really reverse it fully, which is scary as well because they already have a cancer condition and then they have cachexia on top of that. And neither are considered reversible.
And if you're on chemo, from what I understand, it can make you super nauseous too. So you can't keep food down, but now you have to eat more because mm-hmm. you're burning more. So, oof.
Yeah.
Oof.
And they have found that feeding tubes are not helpful in helping with this either. So increasing the calorie intake with a feeding tube is not, it doesn't necessarily make a difference, unfortunately. So I got that information from cancerresearchuk.org.
So it doesn't make a difference in helping to reverse the condition.
Right.
But it could help with what we were just talking about with, I mean, it's still going in your stomach and that's where you're nauseous. So it's not necessarily going to make you less pukey, but I guess it could help with the feeding yourself part.
It could. The anorexia side of it.
Especially if you're having to consume healthy but calorie dense food, it might not taste very good. So at least you can bypass that. So you're nourishing yourself without any sort of subjective, might be the wrong word, but any sort of subjective interference of this tastes horrible, I don't want it.
Yeah.
Or this is a weird, I'm a texture person, so like I can't do this texture.
Mm-hmm.
But I watched a really interesting documentary, I think it was on HBO or Netflix, about anorexia. It followed some girls in this one particular rehab facility, and so kind of they talked about their backstory and what their treatment plan was like. Some of them had the bags with the feeding tubes because for them there was such a negative association with putting food in their mouths that they just that was more the hard part. So while they worked through that, the feeding tube kind of helped them stay
alive.
Stay alive, yeah.
Sad. So the paper that we're going to look at today is by Leal, Lopez, Perez, and Batista. I'm sorry if I said your names wrong. The paper was published this year in 2021, and it's called...
Fresh.
It is. It's fresh off the presses.
Mm-hmm.
So Exercise Training as Therapeutic Approach in Cancer Cachexia, a review of potential anti-inflammatory effects on muscle wasting. And it was published in Frontiers in Physiology. So the topic of the paper was to review different exercise models that can help with cachexia.
Hmm.
So this is going to talk about a lot of information. So
let's get into it.
Let's dive in. So cachexia appears commonly in other diseases such as COPD, AIDS, cancer, and CKD, which is chronic kidney disease.
I'm glad you said that. I was about to ask.
Heart failure and septicemia. Don't ask me what that is because I don't know.
I was about to say I've heard that word in a lot of medical shows. I don't know, Gray's ER or something or other, but I don't think my association with what that word means is... I don't think that word means what you think it means.
Yeah, I get confused with what being septic is.
Mm-hmm.
So about 50 to 80% of cancer patients develop cachexia.
Oof, that's high.
With gastrointestinal and pancreatic cancer being the most common types that develop the muscle wasting disease. Isn't that crazy?
The gastro makes sense. The pancreatic's mildly surprising. I mean, it's still, you know, part of your digestive tract system, but yeah.
Pancreatic is a pretty deadly one because it's harder to find. Mm-hmm. And so typically, whenever it's found, it's already in the late stages.
And your pancreas secretes things that help in digestion? Is that right? Is that accurate?
So the pancreas, what it does is it helps with digestion and helps fuel the cells in the body. So that makes sense why that would affect cachexia.
Yeah, if your fuel delivery route or manufacturing process is not functioning as correct as expected, then.
Definitely. So cachexia is often associated with anorexia, which we've already talked about, but it's also associated with insulin resistance and systemic inflammation. So it can cause inflammation and it can cause diabetes.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Remind me to invite cachexia to my next party.
Sounds good.
Good night.
But one good thing with it is resistance training helps increase muscle protein synthesis, which regular exercises decreases inflammation. So it's a good approach for treatment of cachexia.
Hmm.
It can also help be a preventative. So they actually found that they do research in the different stages of cachexia that they call pre-cachexia, which is when you're showing signs of cachexia, but you don't have it yet. Kind of like pre-diabetes. And then you have cachexia, and then you have refractory cachexia. That means that their cancer treatments are not working, and they have a life expectancy of about 3 months.
Yikes.
Yeah, so refractory cachexia is what you really don't want. In addition to not wanting cachexia.
Yeah, don't want it at all. Really don't want the extra bad version.
No. So the most recommended methods of treatment, like most things, you want a multidisciplinary team. So people that are well-versed in a wide variety of wellness needs. And then you want to treat the secondary consequences of cachexia. So the insulin resistance, the inflammation, the anorexia, and the muscle wasting.
It's like you can't fight the cold itself, but you can treat the symptoms of the cold.
Yes.
While you're getting over it. Or in this case.
There's also pharmacotherapies that are directed towards inflammation and metabolic alterations. So it can help with that insulin resistance and inflammation as well. And then nutritional counseling. So kind of like what we talked about in the last episode, where education is very important and it can influence our decisions.
Mm-hmm.
So in addition to all of that, exercise training and physical therapy are a big part of that, with the muscle wasting component and the inflammation component. And then social and psychological support. Just anyone, I mean, really, honestly, everyone needs social and psychological support.
Yeah. Mom had a support group for her breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So it's therapeutic. Anytime you don't feel alone in what you're going through. It's that, like you said, it's that support network.
Yeah, definitely. Especially when you're going through something so intense.
Traumatic?
Yeah, traumatic.
Definitely. Well, and you said earlier that it can be preventative. So in theory, somebody who's profession or hobby is very strength-based,
mm-hmm.
It seems like it, you know, you can't predict that you're gonna get cancer and then begin to develop cachexia, but you could, if you already live a lifestyle that's based in
exercise,
yeah, if you include these strength-based resistance training type exercises in your life, you can set yourself up. You're better equipped to deal with something like this if it comes along, it sounds like.
Yes. Yes. Your body is definitely more prepared for fighting off something like that.
So on, I think it's The Late Show, he's been doing the Colbert questionnaire. And one of those questions on there is exercise. Is it worth it? Of course, everyone who's asked says yes. I think, you know, kind of here's an example of proof to that.
Mm-hmm.
Like just regular exercise. Is it fun? Does everybody love it? No. Is it important? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us don't love going to work, but we need paychecks to do all of the fun stuff we do and living outside of work. So sometimes it's just something you need to do.
I read something that said if you could fit everything that benefited you from exercise into a pill, it would be the most prescribed medication in the world.
Hell yeah, sign me up.
And I 100% agree. So among various non-pharmacological strategies that have been investigated, there have been different modalities such as in exercise training, endurance, resistance, and combined endurance,
mm-hmm.
combined resistance and endurance training. So both and all of the above have helped with controlling inflammation. And they're capable of inducing an anti-inflammatory response, which is the cytokine secretion by the adipose tissue, which causes a significant reduction in the C-reactive protein levels, which helps lower inflammation in the body. I know I just said a lot of words.
Yeah, I'm trying to process.
So in simpler terms, Redurance, I said it again. Endurance and resistance training and even combined training can help increase the anti-inflammatory processes in our body.
So we go back to the earlier episodes. You get your, which was the mirror that had the weights and stuff on the inside, the tonal one?
I think so.
So you grab your tonal and then you get your YogiFi mat.
Yes.
You get in your resistance training and with yoga, you can do your cardio and, yeah, your stretching. So your recovery, your relaxation, all those good benefits. And you put them together and have a party and control your inflammation and all that fun stuff.
And everyone asks about HIIT training, right? Because mm-hmm. HIIT training is kind of, it's not really endurance. It's not really resistance training. It's kind of a little bit of everything. So that has also been shown to increase the survival and decrease the tumor growth in mice, which is very interesting.
Yes. I've done a lot of HIIT programs. I mean, I definitely like the fact that I can usually get some of the same benefits from a 30 or 45 minute cardio workout done in 15 or 20 minutes.
Definitely.
That's nice.
Everybody loves that.
Plus, it's like a roller coaster. Right about the time I feel like I'm going to die and I want to stop and rage quit, then it's break time.
Exactly.
So.
Just like it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a positive correlation with cytokines and the redistribution of the natural killer cells that are the killer cells for cancer. Ba-bum, bum.
So.
Oh, yeah. They're the ones that help you out.
But I don't remember what cytokines are.
So cytokines are a part of the immune system that help with growth, basically.
Oh, so that makes sense. So there's a positive correlation with cytokines and the redistribution of natural killer T killer cells. So at a base level, what most of us understand about cancer is it's when normal healthy cells don't hit the stop sign on their, duplication process.
Mm-hmm.
So they just keep replicating. They just keep replicating and replicating and replicating and it doesn't stop. And that's typically when you get the tumors and the masses and those things that sometimes can just be removed, but that makes sense. So it's messing with their ability to
grow.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So it helps kill them and helps them stop growing.
Re-regulation of all the grow when we want you to grow and stop when we want you to stop.
Yes. So to break down the benefits of the different categories of exercise a little bit further, resistance training helps increase the strength and it helps increase local muscle endurance, which improves cachexia, whereas endurance training increases the oxygen uptake, decreases the resting heart rate, and increases the browning in adipose tissue.
What is browning? I know adipose tissue is fat.
Yes.
What is browning of? Why does my fat tissue need to get a tan?
So there's two different types of adipose tissue. Browning is one of the types.
Wow.
So browning is your good fat. It's the fat that's good for your health, basically.
My HDL.
Sure.
Of sorts.
Your happy cholesterol.
That's how you keep it straight? Happy cholesterol?
Yeah.
That's clever. I like
it. Yeah, your HDL is your happy cholesterol.
What's LDL? Loser?
Sure. I just remember the happy cholesterol and then LDL is bad cholesterol.
Loser. Loser cholesterol. Lame.
And then combination exercise can help increase muscle mass, decrease blood pressure, increase angiogenesis.
Which is?
The creation of angio.
Gosh darn it, Angie.
So angiogenesis is the creation of blood vessels. So more blood flow to the areas that need blood flow.
Oh, so more veins popping when you're doing bicep curls.
Look, yeah, exactly.
Meaty beast over here.
Get those veins popping. And it can also decrease insulin resistance and decrease inflammation. So for cachexia, combination is more beneficial than one or the other.
So kind of break that down for me. I am someone who you tend to like to prefer working out at a gym. Mm-hmm. I tend to prefer to work out at home. So what sorts of, are we talking like where you are holding a couple dumbbells and you do a sumo squat and pull your arm, make your arms down, go down straight? This is very difficult when it's an audio, auditory media. So you're in a sumo squat position. You've got two dumbbells, one in each hand, and you start standing with your elbows bent. So the weight is up.
You stand to curl.
As you go down to squat, your arm goes down to the bottom. And then as you come back up in your sumo squat, you're doing your bicep curl. So is it a combo move like that? Or are you talking more like where you're switching between a strength training exercise and a cardio?
Yes. So it'd be like your cardio exercise and your strength training exercises. So it might be your combination could be Mondays you do strength training, Tuesdays you go for a walk around the neighborhood. Mm-hmm. So that would be combination training. Or you could do
it's
it
not
on
necessarily
the
move combination or combo in the same workout, but just making sure that you're overall
doing both.
Exercise is diverse.
Yes. Which is beneficial for everyone, but this is just showing that combination exercising with resistance exercises and cardiovascular exercises are beneficial for cachexia and prevention.
Hmm.
So some limitations, there are not very many studies on this topic. And a lot of the research has been done with animal models, such as mice. So it would be good if future research can look into human subjects and helping to do randomized human models to help improve the research body in this area.
I wonder if it has to do with any sorts of regulations or lack thereof. Or, I mean, let's be honest, we know research has to be paid for by somebody. And so if there's...
It would be hard to get approval to do research with this group of people.
So not necessarily that you wouldn't participant consent is probably already going to be difficult to get.
Yes.
But you're saying there's probably an extra complexity of just getting some, does FDA, who approves these kinds of things?
Institutional Review Board.
Mm.
So the IRB.
So you have to submit your, I want to research this topic. Mm-hmm. I want to do it this way. Here's my hypothesis of what I expect to find. And then they...
Well, and that's whenever you write down all of your procedures and your processes. So they make sure that you don't do anything that's going to be horrible like they did in the 40, 30s and 40s research with the Nazis and what they did.
Oh.
So that's kind of one of the big reasons why they have IRB boards. The big reason that they have IRBs is to help protect everyone and everything that's going to be researched.
Yeah. I think that, again, pop culture references is what I know, but it's you know, fantastic movie, Jurassic Park. They were so focused on whether or not they could, they didn't stop and think about whether they should.
Exactly.
So this board,
if they had an IRB,
keep that in check.
Yes. Yes.
That makes sense. I mean, I think that stuff is necessary. Yes, it's important. It can be life-saving and very important to know these things, but how you go about it absolutely matters. You don't want to put people at risk or at risk of harm.
Exactly. Nice. Exactly. So what have we learned today, Chelsea?
I've learned a lot of new words.
Good.
I hope I remember some of them tomorrow. We'll find out.
We will.
I think really what it comes down to is it's just reaffirming stuff we already know, but applying it to an area that most of us in my non-medical field of expertise would not have known. So what we said earlier, strength training, cardio training, if you do this already, this just sets you up to better, it sets your body up to better handle if and when cancer comes a call. And no guarantees with any of this, of course. And we are not making any medical recommendations.
Combination exercise is best for everyone, but it can also help prevent cachexia. Or if you already have cachexia or know someone that has it, try to encourage them to exercise a little bit and it can help.
And if you combine this with the earlier episodes, you add the education, which this one talked about as well, add a wearable or some sort of fun toy to help put a positive spin on motivation, and
yes,
just kind of pull from everywhere, pull all your resources and all your tools.
It's amazing how things can seem like they're not related, but whenever you actually combine that knowledge, they can actually all intertwine with each other and help each other.
Oh, that's my favorite thing. I love it when my worlds collide. It's great.
Definitely. Well, thank you all for listening.
All right, guys. Well, until next time, okay, thanks, bye.
Laters.
Thank you for listening to the Exercise Science TLDR podcast show. If you want to hear more from us, please write a review and subscribe. Join us online at exerciscienctldr.com. Remember, if it's too long and you didn't read it, we read it so you don't have to.